Hi everyone, welcome to Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration. Today is Sunday, December 8th, and we have another great segment for everyone. And if you are joining us, we are starting a little bit earlier today because we have a full agenda with Mr. Dave Murphy, and I want to get all of it in. And so while we're waiting for our time to count down a little bit, just going to introduce everyone again. I am Carla J, your host of Heart to Heart Inspiration, Carla's channel, and I am streaming live on YouTube. I can also be found on Facebook at Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration. All podcast episodes will be uploaded to Spotify. You can also find me on Spotify at Carla's channel, Heart to Heart Inspiration, and also on Instagram. And what we like to do, we like to talk about everything that inspires people. So if you would like to be a guest on the show, please send me an inbox and I will get back to you and we can talk about it more. I am your host. I am a registered nurse. I am a birth doula, a life coach, and a certified CPR instructor. So on this channel, you will see all types of content, and I do travel as well. You can look at some of my content videos. I was in Chicago recently, and you can see some cool stuff from there. And I'll be traveling again to Las Vegas, and you'll see some cool content there. So with that being said, please give me a like and a subscribe and follow my channel on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. And of course, download the full episodes on Spotify. And the reason we go live is because I like the interaction with the people. And just feel free to put your comments in. And if there's anything that we want to give any updates on or any resources, any links and things like that, we can always go back into this channel to the comment section and put those resources and links in there as well. And because we are getting started a little bit earlier, I want to just say hello to everyone. And if you are joining in, put where you're joining in from. I do see that we do have one person on so far, and we have it scheduled to start in about 8 minutes. So more people should be coming on soon. So about me, just a little bit while we're waiting, I already told you a little bit about my background. And so one of the things that I like to do is, you know, give people a voice. As a birth doula, postpartum doula, if you don't know what that means, hit me up. If you are pregnant or know someone who's pregnant or contemplating having a baby or who have already had a baby, grandparents out there, you can give me a ring too, and I can get you started on things that you need to do or start doing with that baby on the way, okay? That is one of my passions. And this here is my ultimate passion, just talking to people. So with no further ado, we're going to get started. I have the pleasure of talking to Mr. Dave Murphy. Dave has a great story to us. If you saw some of the content that I posted, the posts, the reels, Dave has gotten all type of accolades and attention from people such as Arnold Schwarzenegger, Charles Barkley. His story has been featured on CNN and Fox News. And I know I'm forgetting another one, Dave, but he's been such an inspiration to so many people. And I just want to just first give him a shout out for that, you know, because sometimes we do things and we may wonder, like, you know, I'm doing it for myself and don't really think anything else about it. But what you've done, you've inspired so many people. So before we get started and get into everything, Dave, I'm just going to ask that you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are as Dave, and your hobbies, and what you like to do in your spare time, and where we can find you on social media.
All right. Well, thanks for having me on. I live in a little town just south of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, population 3,800, with the great view of the mountains. And my most favorite hobby is working out with my daughter now, who's 10 years old. I go watch her do, she just started kickboxing classes and she's loving it.
Nice.
And yeah, just watching her grow, and she loves helping little kids that are just starting out too. So that's, it hits you right there watching that.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Kickboxing. Wow.
I love boxing.
How did she get into that?
Well, she started boxing with me when I was, after I lost a bunch of weight, she came and tried, they had a kid boxing class. And she liked it so much, but then she's like, I want to kick. I want to learn how to kick. And I turned her over to a Muay Thai class here in town.
Nice. Okay, so you told us you are in a small town, and that small town, if I'm thinking about movies and things like that, I'm like a small town. So what do you have, like one grocery store, one tell me what it's like.
Well, we have one traffic light.
Wow.
We have a rodeo every Saturday. There's something going on, and one
Nice.
grocery store and a Tim Hortons.
Wow. That was so good, Dave. Thank you for that because I have a visual now. I'm like,
Yeah,
wow. And so everyone in the town knows everyone.
sometimes that can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing, but you just gotta lay low and do your own thing and not worry about anybody being negative and just, push that aside and move along.
Okay. Now, is it a farm town?
Kind of. There's a lot of farm, like my view outside my window is nothing but farmland and then mountains in the
Okay.
background of that, and there's deer and antelope and foxes and
Wow.
yeah, so it's you never
Wow.
know. There's a family of deer of eight that walk around town. They're just it not fazed by humans at all. You just see them randomly walking around.
Wow.
You never know.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, thank you again. Thank you for telling us a little bit about yourself and your background. So, we are going to get into it. And Dave, I know that you and I talked a little bit beforehand, and I got a sense of you. I can already tell that you are a great person who cares about, people, and you want to share your story to inspire others. But I know it didn't start out like that. And how it started out, if you don't mind, if you don't mind sharing with us how this whole journey began with the weight gain and things like that, because it took a step back first. It didn't just start off like that. There were some things that started before that. And if you don't mind sharing that with us, go ahead.
Sure, I don't mind at all. Well, I was raised by two parents who were Salvation Army ministers. So I grew up around charity my whole life, and my father used to run like the Christmas programs and a lot of the non-religious side of the Salvation Army that you see, like the so I got to go along delivering toys, and I was around that most of my early life. And then when I was 17 years old, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time and got into a verbal argument with three guys, and they came at me and I horribly tried to defend myself and ended up getting stabbed 13 times,
Wow.
9 times on my back, two on my leg, that one of them severed half the muscle in my leg. So it took me about 6 months to learn how to walk again. And then came the PTSD side of it, which at the time I really didn't know what it was, but I couldn't sleep. I was always anxious. If I see anybody that would look like those guys, I'd walk the other way. Or if I was on like public, a subway, anyone that looked like those guys would get on, I got off. Or I'd, it, yeah, it really messed with my mind. And then I started drinking because I didn't know how to deal with anxiety. So when I was about 20 years old, I'd already put on a ton of weight from just sitting on a couch for a year.
Wow.
And then, so the drinking would start, and then I found that, oh, people think I'm funny when I'm drunk. So I'd go and sing and just, right, I was that sad clown for like 25 years, like
Wow.
drinking like 6 nights a week.
If I
And,
can stop right there, one
yeah.
second, Dave. That is a lot to unpack. So that happened when you were about 19?
I was 17 years old when that happened.
17. 17 when that happened. And if you don't mind, I know you talked about where you grew up. Did that happen in that same town or was that somewhere
No, this
else?
was in Ottawa, Ontario, which is about a population of 200,000 people.
Oh, okay. So much, much bigger, much larger.
No,
I
and it
see.
was in like a gang area kind of town too that I didn't even realize I was in, so.
Okay, yeah. There's a lot of that. It's a lot of that being at the wrong place, the wrong time, or not even knowing that you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes that can happen. So that about 17 times, and you had to go to the hospital. Did someone help you? I'm just trying to unravel that piece of
It was right outside a mall, like in a parking lot. So there was mall security. There was this lady that came who apparently she got in the ambulance with me and held my hand the whole way.
Oh, nice.
Then when I asked the next morning in the hospital when I woke up, where is this lady? I want to say thank you. And everyone was like, there was nobody in the ambulance, sir. It was just the two paramedics. And yeah.
Wow. So,
she was, I don't know, something happened that night. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're in the ambulance and I know you have your story, you know, how you planned out, how you're going to tell it. So if I'm jumping the gun, you let me know.
No, it's okay. It's good.
You were in the ambulance. I thank God for whomever that was that helped you. And I'm kind of like that too. When I see something happening, I'm the one that, you know, I may call for help, or if I see someone hurt, I'll stop and give lend a hand. That's just who I am. And I'm glad that someone was there to help you. Now the ambulance driver and the people, am I jumping too far ahead? Or if you want to go ahead with your story, feel free. Cause I think I'm like jumping in, but I don't want to go too fast.
No, it's okay. The one of the paramedics was a female, and at that time, only 2% of paramedics in Canada were female.
Wow.
But it still took me 29 years to find her because I wanted to say thank you. And so I went on Twitter year after year, and just go dead end, dead end, dead end. And then a year and a half ago, I put out on there, I'm like, this is my final attempt. Here's the details. Here's what happened. And it went viral. And then it ended up on, that's when it got on CNN, Yahoo, Fox.
Wait, Dave. Oh my goodness. So first of all, why did you want to find her? Why was it so important to you to thank her?
Well, because I finally got my mind healed after things that will go in too soon, but I finally felt in the right place. I could move on. And like I used to watch Chicago PD or Chicago, whatever it is, the hospital show. Uh-huh. And I'd have to turn it off because I couldn't watch surgeries. I couldn't even see an ambulance. I'd be like afraid I'd go right back.
Oh, but wow. Then
I went to a fire hall tour here with my daughter. She was 8 and they had an ambulance there. You could get in it. And she's like, come on, dad, come on, let's get in. And I was like, I just went for it. I got in the ambulance and sat down. It was the first time I had been in one in, you know, 29 years. So wow. I knew my mind was right, and I wanted to try and find them and just say, you know what, look at this little girl I have now. Like, I wouldn't have this if it wasn't for you guys.
That is so important, you know, because during COVID, I think we all learned more about the importance of first responders. You know, if you've never dealt with that, if you never had to ride in an ambulance before or get treatment, it may not have hit home for some people. But I think during COVID, we saw so many first responders out there and really developed like an appreciation for them, right? But yeah. Now you have gone through this and it hits differently when you've gone through that. And as a first responder, it feels so good that someone wants, I'm a first responder, so it feels so good to have someone say, I wanted to find that person and say thank you, you know, because sometimes you are caring for people and then you don't see them anymore. And you do wonder, I wonder what happened to them, how they're doing. So I'm glad that you wanted to do that and that you sought that out. But the part that got me, Dave, you said you wanted to find them. And then your story went viral, CNN, Fox News. I mean, that is awesome. I can't even get the YouTube to go viral. So, how did you do that? Oh my goodness. So tell us about it. Tell us it went viral and then what happened?
Well, I guess it was, I started with one of my local accounts. They reposted it. Mm-hmm. And then up here we have, CBC and CTV. They're kind of like our CNN or MSNBC, whatever. So all their local stations picked it up. And then it got released to the Associated News Press. So any news agency in the world, they saw the story in the morning. Wow. And I mean, I was on the Punjabi Times, there's some paper in East India that has like 5 million readers. I'm like seeing like a Punjabi version of my story there.
Wow.
I'll still search man finds paramedic after 29 years and I'll see my, there was some Little Rock, Arkansas, some local paper. Like, I don't know where Bill Clinton is from or whatever, but some little tiny newspaper in like Little Rock, Arkansas picked it up. I'm like, yeah.
Wow. It was like all aligned, you know, the stars were aligning with what you wanted to do and it was all just falling into place, it sounds like.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll tell you one thing that's kind of a little top secret, but the paramedic that saved my life is an illustrator. And she draws cartoons and artwork and paintings. So her and I are writing a book together. It'll probably be one of a kind because it's a paramedic and the guy the paramedic saved. Wow. I can't go into details about it, but
that's right.
she's gonna do this as a fundraiser for service dogs for first responders.
Oh, so wow, that's gonna be nice.
I've got the book written. She's drawing the pictures, and then we're gonna release this and, you know, change the world for some kids and people like me that are terrified of ambulances.
That's gonna be awesome. I can't wait. So you got these ads out. You're going viral. What happens next? Tell us all about it. I want to know. I can't wait to hear when all the stars started talking to you and DMing you and sharing your story.
Well, because I was running a charity for the military, I had some friends over in Afghanistan, and they opened up a coffee shop over there in the back of a truck, at Tim Hortons. Mm. So this was in 2007, and I said to him, how much are you paying for coffee over there? And he's like, I don't know, regular prices. I'm like, you're not going to pay for another coffee. So I started a little Facebook group called Tim Hortons for Our Troops. Wow. And so what they did, they had these little paper gift cards and people would write notes on the back and then we'd send them over and that kind of snowballed and we sent over $100,000 worth of coffee.
Wow.
In the first year. So these Canadian guys had so much coffee. They shared with like U.S. Army guys and British guys and they got them all hooked on Tim Hortons.
And, wow.
I had this U.S. Marine send me an email. And he's like, man, I put on like 10 pounds on this deployment because of you guys and your coffee certificates, because the donuts and stuff, right? Mm. But he's like, I got something special coming for you in the mail. Can you send me your address? And he sent me a U.S. flag that they had flown in Taiji, Iraq for a day with a little plaque with my name on it and stuff.
Wow.
So I'm a Canadian in this little tiny town, and I have a U.S. flag framed in my living room. So when people come in, they're like, dude, you're Canadian. Why do you have a U.S. flag? And then I tell them and they feel really stupid, but like I love telling that story. So then I started, what started the celebrity chain was I started this thing called the Gratitude Project.
Okay.
So people just holding the sign that said, thank you. And then I put them all together in YouTube videos and I had enough to make 14 5-minute videos. It was thousands of pictures. And I open up my inbox one day and I've got this picture from Gene Simmons and Shannon Tweed holding a thank you sign and he's saluting. So then when he reposted that, all my favorite 80s hard rock bands like Motley Crue and Metallica, all these guys started following. They're like, when we come to town, we're going to give you some tickets to bring veterans to our shows. So I'm like, yeah, okay, right. What if this is like a fake account? But no, KISS came and they sent a limo for us. Me and seven veterans, we had front row center. We got to go backstage. And it was, you know, it's real because, like, you know what? We don't want a camera crew. We don't need a pat on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we come to town, here's some tickets, bring some veterans.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the coolest celebrity interaction I've ever had was no numbers or tweets or any of that stuff. It was Chris Cornell. Used to be the lead singer of Soundgarden.
Okay.
And so he follows me on Twitter and I'm like fanboying like a Swiftie that's just got an invite backstage on the Eras Tour, right? And so I send Chris Cornell a message. I'm like, listen, I've been a fan of you since I was like 12. If Soundgarden ever gets back together, can you send me a couple tickets? Jokingly. I never heard from him. And then 2 years later, Soundgarden announces a Canadian tour. So I'm like, oh, okay, here we go. So I get a message from Chris Cornell saying, how many tickets do you need, brother?
Wow.
So he he sent me tickets to those two shows, but then he was coming to do an all acoustic show just in a, like a concert hall here.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent me 8 tickets to bring veterans.
And wow.
He invited us downstairs before the show. He talked to these guys for 45 minutes about PTSD and what it's like. And there was a guy that came with me from a program called Guitars for Vets. So they teach guitar lessons to veterans with PTSD.
Oh, like a healing, like a part of a healing. Okay, yeah. I like
and,
that.
So he's like, put me in contact with the director of this charity. And I'm like, okay. But he's like, I want this to be anonymous. I don't need a camera crew. I don't need a check. I don't, this is just. So he sent them $100,000 worth of Yamaha guitars. And he's like, I don't want anything for it. And that's, you know, it's not like you see the camera crew going to save hurricane victims or like people walking around with a camera crew. Like, here's a sandwich, homeless guy. Right. It's,
right.
None of that. It's just real. And
just real. You
know, fortunate enough to see a lot of real stuff in my time on Earth.
That's awesome, Dave. That part, and I know we've kind of skipped over it a little bit, just talking about the PTSD, that is so real for so many people. And we're used to hearing it amongst or about veterans, right? We're used to hearing it about that. But like your traumatic event that you had when you were 17, also those type of events, different type of events, we can name so many, have traumatic events can lead to PTSD. Yeah. And as you said, it took you about a good 25 years to even be able to get into an ambulance or just look at a show and things like that. Did you get any help along the way, or, you know, you just was figuring it out yourself? How did that look for you during that time?
Well, my biggest wake up call. So the three guys that attacked me, they were from Somalia. So whenever I'd see anyone that looked like them, I would freak out, panic, all that other stuff. But my ex-wife was 8 months pregnant. And my big wake-up call, we were on the fourth floor, so she couldn't do anything. So I'm going up and downstairs with boxes by myself. And there was three Somalian guys that lived in the next apartment over from us. And okay, so these guys start walking towards me when I'm there doing this with the boxes, and I of course get defense mode. I'm in my brain, they want to beat the crap out of me. But the one guy looks at me and says, hey, you want some help?
Wow.
So him and these other two guys, they called in two other guys, the two brothers. So there's five, there's me with my messed up mind, and these five Somalian guys helping me move for an hour.
Wow.
And that was my big wake up call. I was like, you know what? Everyone's not going to stab you. Everyone's not going to attack you.
Okay.
And then I went and talked to a professional. That really didn't work out, but it woke me up in my mind and realized, you know, I needed to, before I was about to become a dad in a month, I needed to get my mind right. So
okay,
that was my first big wake up call.
Okay. And then, I'm sure that's scary. You know, things happen to us and you look on it and it's easy to stereotype or easy to judge, because it's a form of protection, right? You're trying to protect yourself from harm or ongoing harm or those things that you perceive that could happen. So that's very much understandable. And your baby comes along, your daughter comes along. And how was life during this time? I think before you stated was this the time where you're gaining weight all this time?
I still was, but okay. So when my daughter turned, she was about 4 and a half.
Okay.
And we were at a playground and I was only about 50 feet from maybe 100 feet from where we lived. And she's like, Dad, let's race home. Let's race home. I'll beat you. Because I was almost 392 pounds. And having half a muscle in my left leg, I said to her, listen, sweetie, you know daddy can't run. And her little face, that was it. I'm like, this is it, no more, you know. And I lost 100 pounds in a year. I went online and I'm like, listen, I'm going to lose 100 pounds and I'm going to donate $1 a pound to charity. Because that for every pound I lose. And then when I hit my goal, all these people were matching me. So that 100 turned into 700, turned into 1500, turned into $22,000.
Wow.
From one little post. And so then I kept going. So overall, I was 170 pounds down. And my best friend, who I met 4 years ago, he's a Baptist pastor in my local town here. He signed him, me, and my daughter up to do a 5 kilometer run. And I'm like, whoa, man. Like, yeah. 5K, you're wrong. Like, I can't run a kilometer without a foot cramp. But we did it. We finished in 42 minutes.
Wow.
My daughter beat That's me awesome. By my daughter beat me by 3 seconds, which is not going to happen next time, but she still doesn't let me let that down. So we were sitting around. I'm like, you know what? We should write a book about this.
Wow.
So I put out a little post on my local page and said, any illustrators in town want to be part of a special project? Hmm. And this lady messaged me, her daughter's studying to be in art college, a little 15-year-old girl. So she drew the pictures. I just documented my story right from being giant to doing this 5K. And that one sold about 100 copies in a year. And
wow.
Any, like, the little royalties from it, I split between my daughter's and the illustrator's education funds.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. And it's good. You know, it was the number one bestseller for about 3 weeks, which, you know, not quite Taylor Swift numbers, but hey, it's 3 weeks.
That was good.
But I mean, the thing is, I met the people that I met through that book. Like, there's a U.S. Navy veteran who picked up my book. He was 480 pounds.
Okay.
He had two twin daughters who were 5. And he had a doctor look at them and said, because he was a single dad. And they looked at him and said, do you want someone else raising your kids? And then smarten the hell up. So wow. he's dropped 320 pounds.
Okay. Kudos.
On the same weekend that my daughter did our 5K, he was just doing his first 5K with his twin daughters.
Wow.
And him and I, we text every day. We still will go on each other's videos and just post little, you know, motivational things to keep us in check. And that's
important.
Yeah, that's the thing to me that makes it more like, you know, it's got like Stephen King numbers to me. Because just meeting these people and the stories, right. And it's...
Dave, I think I need to move to a small town. You have had the best luck ever with your town. So you found the paramedic, but I want to go back to the PTSD. So, because you got stabbed in your calf, was that a part of the not being able to do things and part of how the weight happened? Because you had this injury, you were depressed, down about it, and you know, over the years that was happening, was that because of that calf injury?
Yeah, homie, and I used to drink 5 to 6 nights a week by the pitcher, so it was like a disgusting amount of alcohol, and then like nachos and wings every night and pizza, and I used to sit down and watch the show The Biggest Loser while eating a family meal from KFC. I'm like, oh, someday that'll be me, chicken wing in my mouth. But.
Right, right. So all of those habits, you know,
Comfort and release and, yeah.
Okay. And so then those things happen. And when you did the gratitude project, I really liked that. Was that before or after, because you had just stated... with the 5K run, was that before or after that?
That was in 2010. So that was even before my daughter even came along. I just used to do things to keep my mind busy, start projects, help other people, and then I don't know, kind of making the most of a chance number two at life, I guess.
Yeah. What would you and all the work that the different bands and things like that they said, you know. We'll give you tickets to this if you bring some veterans and things like that. Did you see some transformation amongst people?
Oh, yeah. Well, most of the guys that I would take were from the program, so they all had PTSD like me.
Okay.
So it was just cool hanging out with people like that because you don't get to explain what it's like.
Right.
And it was just watching them, like, front row a kiss, like, and stuff like that. It was all their problems were gone, even if it was 2 hours.
Right.
It was just taking them for that release, and instead of, I just sit back and watch them. And of course, you know, my favorite bands from when I was growing up, I'm not going to say no to that. And you know.
Right. That is so cool. The band, seeing the bands and the guitar project. I really like that because it's the small things that can really help people that sometimes you may not think about. And your daughter, like starting from the paramedic, for the person who helped you in the ambulance ambulance or helped you get to the ambulance, to that paramedic, to now those Somalians that helped you, you know, to change kind of that stereotype in your mind, you know, and then from your daughter and now going online, the gratitude project, that makes me think of that project. What is it? Pass it on. Like if you see someone in a store, you know, drive through or something, and you buy their meal for them. So it was something like that, something similar to that.
Oh yeah. We had, man, I had like kindergarten classes that would lie down in the snow and just spell out the word thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People, one lady riddled on her tongue. There was someone who got a tattoo. I don't know if it was real or not, but it was just, people got really creative. It was really cool.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
I've just trying to start a new one called Operation You Are Not Alone.
Okay.
So it's people doing the same thing, just holding up a sign that says you are not alone.
Nice.
Every time I get 100 of those, I've only got 4. But when I eventually get 100 of those, I'll put up a video every time just so that if anyone's ever wondering, if, you know, anyone out there gives a crap, they can go on and look at this series of videos and say, okay, people do give a crap.
Wow. It's you're not alone. Where do you put up a sign so everyone on the looking at the video knows? What do we do?
If you go to www.intheheartoftheforest.com, right at the bottom of the page it says Operation You Are Not Alone, and it's got the steps there.
Wow. So doing all of these things, how does that help you mentally? How are you adjusting now with your PTSD?
Well, I think boxing helped me more than any psychologist I ever went to. If anyone's out there ever thinking about trying boxing, it just does something to your mind. It just, I don't know, it changed who I am, and now who I am now is even more incredible. But I never mentioned my newest book about the little fox, called In the Heart of the Forest. It's basically my story I just told you about the guys moving and he's seeing those guys, but it's a little fox and he's got a fear of coyotes because of something that happened to him. And I can't, there's no spoiler alert, but
right.
The fox gets stuck in a situation and some coyotes might just come help him out. And that's the reviews on that online. And I can't even read them sometimes. I got to do like one at a time because it's hitting people.
Hitting wow. People hard. I love that. You have really been changing lives. So, then you got the bands, you got some great people reaching out to you. Then what happened? How did Arnold Schwarzenegger, how did that come about? And the Charles Barkley, how did that come about?
Well, Charles Barkley had saw the story on either Fox News or CNN, one of them. And he just randomly talked about it on his Bleacher Report podcast.
Wow.
And the coolest thing was when he's talking about the story and he looks down in his arms like he was talking to this guy, Ernie, NBA guy. And he's like, it gives me chills, Ernie. This guy gives me chills. And to hear that, like, you know, I'm a hockey and football guy, but I've only really watched basketball when the Raptors were in it that year. But
okay.
But I mean, I know who I've watched the Dream Team back whenever that was, the Olympics and Michael Jordan. But I'm just
so you knew Charles Barkley.
Yeah, I know who Charles Barkley is. Yeah. And I watch his golf swing and just cringe. But yeah. If you've never seen his golf swing, anyone watching, you got to look that up.
But yeah, how did you find out about that he had talked about you?
His producer reached out to me on Twitter, well, X, whatever it is now, and last week they just sent the follow-up request.
Okay.
So me and my daughter sent him a little clip about my new book here.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, this little guy here.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So this was drawn by a lady that lives in my town. I mean, you look at the pictures, it's like she actually, it's like it's actually drawn right on the page. It's
right.
It's so different and special. But Arnold Schwarzenegger had just seen a post about, because I put a picture up with me and my daughter when I was like almost 400 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And next to that is a picture of the first time we worked out together at the gym.
Okay.
And I guess somebody tweeted it to him, and then he's like, he reposted it, and that post had 9.2 million views.
Wow.
And yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah.
You are changing lives, my friend, and it is awesome. How does your daughter take in all of this? How is she doing? I know you said she's in kickboxing.
Yeah, she's doing kickboxing now, and she got asked if she wanted to move up to the next level because she's picking it up really fast, but she's like, no, Dad, I like helping the new kids and being the demo, and it's like watching a little mini-me over in the corner. It's pretty special.
Oh,
yeah, she's sometimes she gets a little, like, I don't do too much. Like when Arnold Schwarzenegger posted and everything went viral in the media interviews, the only interview I let her do was with CTV Ottawa.
Okay.
Because we did a live Zoom with the paramedic that saved my life and her.
Okay.
And they have a special bond too. They're both painters.
So oh, nice.
They've exchanged artwork and sent it to each other.
Okay.
Yeah, and she still texts me like every second day. We check in with each other, so it's all right.
That's good. So to wrap us up, Dave, what would you say to someone today who may be listening, who is struggling with PTSD?
One of my very close military friends he's done 9 tours. He was the first veteran to speak out about PTSD. He said to me one day, just because the past taps you on the shoulder, it doesn't mean you have to turn around and look.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that he's a character. He's the wise old owl in this book that has a chat with the coyote. So he was pretty pumped because he was an owl in my book. But
that is awesome. I like that. Yeah,
and he said to me too, he's like, you know what, because of my story and his story, military, first responders, anyone, you know, someone that went through sexual assault,
yes,
we're all on the same plane. We're in just different sections, different seats.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. Everyone's story is different. You might be coming from a different destination or traveling to a different destination mentally,
yeah,
but you are on the same plane and requires some assistance. And I like that. Are there any organizations that are near and dear to you that you would refer people to, or, you know, anything like that that could also help people that you would recommend?
There's a charity here in my province called Can Praxis.
Wow.
So they're a horse therapy program for veterans, first responders with PTSD. And what I love about this charity is that they invite the families.
Wow.
So like if the male has PTSD, they bring the wife and his kids.
Okay.
If it's a female first responder with PTSD, they bring their husband, wife, whatever, and their family.
Okay.
And because it trains them how to cope with someone that has PTSD.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, I was with someone for over 12 years that thought my story was fake, and I didn't have a soul to talk to except, you know, my dog.
Right.
But something really cool from this book, I got to tell the story before I go.
Yes.
So my little town of 3,800 people, okay, I get a review on this book from a lady around my age. Doesn't have kids, but bought the children's book. And the review she left was so beautiful and heartwarming. I had to reach out to her.
Okay.
So we started talking, and then I found out through a comment in one of my posts that she has also lost over 200 pounds.
Wow. Okay.
So combined, not only did we fight the same kind of demons with situations, stuff I won't go into, but we've lost all this weight together. Our stories are like clones of each other, but we met for a coffee and it went very, very well. So I said to a friend, I like, you know, we met through Amazon and things are going really well. Maybe that Jeff Bezos guy will pay for our wedding or something. But it was years down the road. But yeah, no, my kid loves her. It's just unreal. And all we met through this little book, to me, that's like number one bestseller right there. So
yes. So yeah. I take it that this is a very special friend of yours that you all have lost. You know, you bonded. You bonded through the information in the story, the stories, and the weight loss journey. Hers was 200 pounds. And what was your total again, or approximate?
Well, combined 375 pounds together.
Okay. All right. That is awesome. Kudos to you both. Now, do you all jog together, exercise, eat right? What do you do? What's your secret?
Well, not yet, but I'm going to train her boxing. She wants to learn. I got my trainer certificate a couple years ago, so we're going to start all working out together. Maybe our daughter can, my daughter can show us some things with kicking the pads and stuff. And
okay.
Yeah, we, there's a lot of potential there. And, you know, this book may not, well, it could also be like a bachelor, bachelorette thing for anybody out there, you know? You never know who you're going to meet through a review of my book. I don't know.
Well, no,
we have
if
plans.
Anybody can do that, Dave, it's you.
we just started talking yesterday about maybe doing a podcast like this together.
Uh-huh.
You know, once I get more nerves about being on video and that kind of stuff. But.
Well, you're there now. You're doing great. I appreciate you for being my guest. I appreciate you for being vulnerable and sharing your story. Other people, they gain courage and inspiration from these types of real life stories, authentic. And so I thank you for that. Kudos to you and your family. And I really appreciate you. And we'll be talking again. And I can't wait to see the books. I mean, there's one out already. When we're done with this live stream, we can put the name of the books in the comment section so that people can see them. And maybe how about the name of the organization that you said helps out people? Yeah, that'd be great. So thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate you, and more kudos to you, because I know you're going to be, I'm going to look up and I'm be like, I interviewed him before. Yes.
Well, you know what? It's funny. I'll tell you this too, because I've had a few podcasts reach out to me from that post on the page where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, listen, man, I only have 10 listeners. It might be a waste of your time. And you know what I said to that guy? I said, listen, if one of those listeners is me 5 years ago, it's worth every damn minute.
Uh-huh.
In 2010, I come home from a night of binge drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my mom was watching this, so I don't want to say too much about it, but I was on the 14th floor of a downtown apartment, and I thought to myself, you know what? Would anyone even give a shit if I leaped off here?
Mm.
So, I mean, if, you know, 10 people watch this, and one of those people is me 6 years ago, then it's, you know what I mean? I don't care if you have 10 views or 200. If I'm on with Joe Rogan talking about the, you know, the YMCA dance guy, whatever. But
right. That is so, and I appreciate you saying that, because that's me. I'm just starting and I have a passion and I just feel the same way. If I can just help one person, but what you said is so profound, Dave, you know, that would anybody give a shit if I did that? And that's what so many people feel sometimes, you know, and just to encourage someone, give them hope and resources is awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. And there's so much more we can get into, right? So maybe we'll have to have a part two.
Maybe. Maybe with my sidekick hiding over there. Who knows?
Yeah. Yes. She'll get there. She'll get there. But thank you so much, both of you all, and you all have a great night. And just want to encourage everyone out there, you know, if you need help, if you are thinking about suicide or life is just getting too hard, you can call the National Suicide Line at 988. And there's also resources that you can call the NAMI, NAME. And there's another one, AAFSP, but I'll put them in the links section as well. And because we just want you to know that your life matters, right, Dave? Your life matters. And so it may not look like it right now. It may take 20 years, like Dave stated, but your life matters. All the things that are happening in between, it matters. And it helps to create a great story and a great testimony. So thank you so much, Dave. And with that, good night. Thank you again.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for having me.